Every couple of weeks he comes bearing knowledge of goodness. He is the great Arlo. Hello, my friend.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
You know what? Not doing too bad. First and foremost, is the lake mostly ice free, or is there still?
No, it's mostly frozen.
Mostly frozen.
It's still covered.
Okay.
At least up at our end, I can see 12 miles of the lake, and there's nothing open at all.
Gotcha.
Ice is white. You know, it's getting close, and the average for the last 70 years is April the 9th.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know Dave Wagner, but he's the local guy here and around Grant County, and his annual prediction is always April 2nd. And for all those folks out there that know Dave Wagner, he's wrong again, because we're already past that. Now, whether we go past the 9th, today's the 5th, with your lousy forecast for weather.
Again, don't shoot the messenger.
I think we're going to surpass the record. The actual record for the open, you know, the earliest is March 15th, and we set that a few years ago. And then the latest is May the 9th also, May 9th or 10th or something like that.
I was here for that one.
You were here for that one? You were here for both of them, actually.
Yes, I was.
And they were both in the previous decade.
The May the 9th or 10th, whatever that was, that was a miserable winter.
Yep.
Isn't that where it blizzarded in, like, the third week of April?
Yep, it did.
I recall myself being extremely grumpy.
Yeah. That was back also when Minnesota still had the limits in place. You know, you couldn't fish on Big Stone, being it's a border lake, mm-hmm. for walleye until the middle of March, March 15. Well, I've got a photo of March 15th where an airplane is sitting on the ice trying to ice fish for the Minnesota opener.
Cool.
Somebody flew in for the opener. Oh, boy.
That was cool.
But, yeah, Big Stone is, you know, again, this has been a cold year and a cold spring, colder spring than you'd expect, maybe. But at any rate, we're not open, and we're not going to be open. Although the end, I drove down across the dike road at the end of the lake, and it's open for a ways in there. So there are a few spots here and there. But it's not, you know, in our stretch up north, you know, that there's nothing open to speak of.
If we can get, like today, if we get some significant rain, mid-50s, a good amount of rain will chew through that ice.
And the wind will break up the ice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got some high wind. So the 9th, you know, it's not today's 5th. Okay, 6th, 7th, you're talking 8th, somewhere in that range. It's possible. It's possible it could open up on the average date. I mean, there's nothing magical about that, but that is it. And I've got record. I even have a record going back to 1899, but I don't have. There's some gaps in there, big gaps in there. I've got 1899 and about a 1930, and then we start about 1950. But even 1950 is a 70-year record. So, anyway, you know, that's a big deal around here. You know, oh, when's the lake? When's the ice out? Everybody wants to know when the ice will be out. So,
we have, as we've talked about before many times on this radio station, Arlo is the only guest who is allowed to book his own guests. And we have a guest that Arlo has brought in. And would you like to introduce this gentleman?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have with us this morning Pastor Mark Brown. Mark Brown is the person in charge, I guess it'd be the best way to say it, of Next Town Ministries. He's from Watertown. And he also is the pastor for a church in Watertown called the Jesus Church. But his organization, the Next Town Ministries organization, are now the owner of the Congregational Church here in Milbank. And we finalized that arrangement on the 31st of March. In fact, I presented to him here just a little bit ago the actual document, which is a quit claim deed, so that he is the owner of he and his congregation are in his board of directors for his organization. They are now the owners of the Congregational Church here in Milbank. Now, the church, we've owned the church for 10 years. We acquired it from the Congregational Congregation in October of 2012, so we had just about a decade. The reason we acquired it was we thought at the time that, first of all, the congregation was at a point of size that they could not handle the church anymore. We took it as, and thought of it in terms of creating a church museum, which we did. And it's been that for, for all this, most of this decade. We just continued that towards the very end here. But this opportunity came along. What we're excited about as a board and as a society is that the church building, which has been a museum for 10 years, is now being returned to its original function, original purpose, that of being a church, mm-hmm. and housing a congregation and becoming active in that world, in that, as that type of a venue, that's what it was built for. The church was actually initially started in 1882. So you're pretty close to the 100, not quite, the dedication turned out to be in February of 1884. So I suppose you'd say that would be the 140th anniversary. But the actual initial construction of it, conceptualization of it, and then construction of it was in the year of 1882 here in Milbank. The church was funded by the man for whom this town is named, Jeremiah Milbank. He contributed $15,000 to the construction of the church, which was, adequate enough to build the church. Things started off slowly, and he was an impatient man, and so he hired his own architect out of New York City, and he came and lived here for a while, and so he actually got the construction going. It was, and of course, Milbank was just founded in 1880, so it wasn't like it was filled with people that can do stuff like this. So this person came in and headed it up and was able to get the church built in the manner that it is. It's a gorgeous building, a very, very substantial structure as far as that goes. Beautiful windows, stained glass windows, and so forth. So it's a historic building for Milbank. Of course, we being the Historical Society, we felt incumbent upon us when the opportunity arose and the circumstance arose that we take it. But here we have now, we think it's equally incumbent upon us. If you have the opportunity to return it, let's do it. And so that's what we've done. So I asked Mark if he would be willing to come and sit here and in this August environment such as we have here and discuss with us what, his views are, what his plans are, what his concepts are, and that sort of thing. And I think it's a way of introducing Mark, introducing you to the Milbank community. There are thousands of people that will be listening, you understand. So
thousands. Millions.
At least thousands. It could be even greater than that. So that, the first question I guess I would have is why?
Why? That's a great question. It's a loaded question.
Of course it is. Yeah.
Why is, I've been in Watertown for 15 years. I'm originally from the Chicagoland area, and I was in Bible college for 4 years in Indianapolis, and I never heard of South Dakota, never been to South Dakota. But in prayer and through the process of time, I heard as near audible as I could tell you, I heard the Lord tell me to go to South Dakota. And I'm like, what in the world? But I obeyed what I felt, and my wife and I, the week or two after graduation, we moved out here. We had no plans of, in the sense of we didn't have a job lined up. We just moved into basically a split-level home in Watertown, lived in the basement, and had church upstairs, and that's how we started. I worked two jobs for 7 years, just trying to dig out of work, grassroots level. The why to that original, this is a long answer, I guess.
That's okay.
It's radio. You got a whole lot, you're fine.
And the why is, God did something pretty amazing in my life personally and in my family's life. My mom is originally from Tijuana. My mom and dad, my dad was Baptist, my mom was Catholic, and Brand, only they weren't in attendance. They just, that was just their backdrop. But they're on the verge of divorce. My parents were addicted to crack. My mom was in a gang, went to prison for attempted manslaughter. Whole nine yards, things going pretty rough. But at a low point when everything was falling apart, someone invited him to a small missions work that wasn't ornate, wasn't majestic, and it was a Pentecostal church. And what we mean by Pentecostal is, in the book of Acts in the Bible, it's the only, you would appreciate this being a historian, it's the only historical document of the original church is found in the Bible, the book of Acts. And so on the day of Pentecost, the Jewish festivity, is when the birth of the New Testament church was started. And on that day, the pouring out of the Holy Ghost happened. And that was the birthday of the church, the day of Pentecost. 50 days, Pentecost just means 50, 50 days after Passover. And so, anyways, they were in a Pentecostal service. And Pentecostal typically, in the most general sense, means what happened in the book of Acts is still pertinent and relevant or accessible to today. And so in that service, my mom and dad prayed through, received the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. And that day, they went home, and miraculously, they were addicted to alcohol, cocaine. They flushed it all down the toilet and were miraculously delivered. All that to say this is, it's always been my heartbeat to try to make sure the church that we find in the book of Acts is active. And so in Watertown, that was our goal, is just to see a Book of Acts model church grow. And we took, just similar to like this situation, it was a closing work, the Episcopal Church, Trinity Episcopal Church in Watertown, South Dakota. And we acquired that property miraculously. It's a beautiful, beautiful property, beautiful building and church. And a church was grown out of that. And in recent time here, there was a transition. The associate pastor, Jared Kemis, became the senior pastor. We were put as the honorary bishop over the church and overseer with this intent to go to the next town. Jesus said in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 38, he says, we must go to the next town to preach the gospel there also. And so it's just our goal. We felt the Lord speak to us to basically have a rural revival throughout South Dakota, going from town to town. And so we've been praying for the past, oh man, it's been about 5 months. We've been going through rural parts of South Dakota in our car, just praying. And then we would pull over in a town and walk through that town praying. And when we came to Milbank and prayed, it felt like almost like a gravitational pull, like feet adhered to the ground, like something, there's something here in Milbank. I don't know any details about Milbank other than I felt that pull, the same pull that I felt to go to Watertown. And so every Monday for the past 4 to 5 months, we've been here on Mondays praying. We were just here yesterday praying. And in that process, we finally said, you know what? Let's find a location to meet and have a Bible study group. And it's just my wife and I. We bring our three children, Noah, Grace, and Eden, a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And then another couple from Watertown. And so we basically went to the visitor center and talked to, oh, her name's escaping my mind. You have a very sharp mind, and you probably know her name.
Lori Folk?
Yes.
Could be,
yes.
Lori.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys are the geniuses here. I talked to her about what we wanted to do. And we sign up agreement to meet at the visitor center on Mondays. And so starting next week at 6:30, we will start our Bible study group. Everyone in the community is welcome. Every Monday at 6:30, we meet there for Bible study group and prayer. But the first day I went there to sign the papers, the conversation is beginning. Lori's asking, just like you guys are asking, why? What's going on? And so I begin to share. And she said, wow, that's awesome. Well, if there's anything that you need, any questions you have about Milbank, feel free to ask. And I was just spurred to ask. I go, well, you know, I'm just a curious person. If there happens to ever be a vacant property, I always love to know about it and look at it. And she said, you know, there is this one church, and I believe it's the Historical Society owns it, and I get you their contact, and I don't know if they would rent it or what. And so she got me the contact that day, and I called Arlo. And we never met, and we discussed over the phone, and I think was home or maybe out of town, and he says, well, I could have someone give you a look at it if you want. And so that day, I went to the building, we toured, walked through it, and I loved it. I mean, it was beautiful, and I called him back, and he said, what'd you think? I was like, man, I think the place is beautiful. And he says, well, I'll tell you what. If you're interested and you're serious, I'll talk to our board, and we'll see what can happen. He goes, I think maybe might be able to give it to you guys. I'm like, for real?
Sell it.
Yeah, sell it. And
an important distinction.
Yes. And so he talked to their board, and he said, we needed from our side to write a letter of intent, what our motive purpose is. And so we did that both on our ends, and the culmination of all led to the moment where they sold it for $1 to us. And so that just took place, that $1 on April 1st. And didn't know if it was a joke they were playing on us on April Fool's Day, but it wasn't a joke. They followed through with everything. And here we are today. It's I call it the miracle of Milbank, or the Milbank miracle. You know, that here we are. We just got here, and here's this building that has transpired. And, you know, it's just like the Bible says, it's not by our might. It's not by our power. It's by His Spirit. Like, I couldn't make this happen. There's a God that sees all, knows all. And I believe the power of prayer. You know, when you put God first and prayer first, God takes care of all the details. And that's a brief or long answer to a short question. But why is a loaded question.
Yes, it is.
I'll pause there for a moment. Maybe you have some more questions.
That's a good place to pause indeed. That's a good answer, though. It was good.
Great answer. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, we'll have more coming up next. 9:22. Stick around. You're in tune to Good Morning Milbank here on KMSD. We continue our conversation. And Arlie, you wanted to kind of take something, mention something here before we...
We asked Mark why, and he articulated his thoughts very well, I thought, and described things... from his side and his point of view, and I want to talk a little bit about our approach from our side being the Historical Society. We had actually engaged in a couple discussions amongst ourselves, the board, about the Congregational Church, its longer-term future for us. We were not happy with the response in terms of it being seen as a museum. That was a concept that just didn't seem to be gaining traction. If anything, it was losing traction. So we were, thinking about different things. We even thought a little bit about, boy, if we had an opportunity to sell the church, we might consider that. Okay. So, you know, we'd had this discussion. And unbeknownst, of course, to me and to us, Mark was here, and as he described was occurring, well, so then he calls. And it's like, you know, was he at our meeting by any chance? Did he somehow have an insight into our meeting? How does this work? Because we had a meeting on a Thursday, and he called on a Friday, the next day. And he's talking to me about what he's doing, and he's talking and telling me about his conversation with Lori Folk, the chamber director. And I said, really? Okay. So first thing I said was, okay, he believes in prayer. I'm not necessarily saying one way or another, but there's certainly something happening here, a little bit out of the ordinary. So I said, well, why don't you, if you're interested, just as Mark described, send us a letter. Give us a letter of intent is what I was looking for. So they did. They authored a letter of intent and was signed by all of his board members, and we convened a board meeting to discuss it. This wasn't the easiest decision for us to make. We have folks on the board that have attachments to the church over time, historically and family-wise and so forth. So it was a matter of discussion. So we decided to counter their offer, in effect, which is what the letter of intent was, with our response, which was we were concerned at a point anyway about trying to maintain the church with the congregational group that originally had it for all these years, with some things there, and have continued that in mind. Well, to be really honest, our position probably wasn't the best in terms of we really felt they needed, the next town ministries, the organization needed freedom to do what they wished to do. And there was a what we were proposing was a reversion clause, which if things all change, it would revert. Well, that was not what they were interested in either. And ultimately, when we got over that, as a discussion point from our perspective, we responded and said, okay, well, we will sell the church as is. And we set the price at $1, which is what we paid for the church. I had some pressure to double the price, but that...
a whole $2.
Yeah, I stood my ground for Mark, and for so we stuck to our agreement, and we sold the church for $1, and we did, you know. And I want to say too that George Bowles is our attorney for the society. I want to say he's the pro bono attorney, which means he doesn't get paid for what he does. And so we try to work him a lot, you know, because there's really, you know, if you have a pro bono attorney, you better take advantage of it at every opportunity and maybe slip in a few little other things just that might, just for the fun of it, you know. Anyway, so, yeah, George met with us, you know, every time we met, and, he helped clarify various issues, so that were needed to be clarified for us all. So much of what occurred was, with his assistance, it worked out in the manner that it did, which is the best thing probably for us and certainly for the next town ministries. So that's sort of, from my perspective, our side of the story and so forth. So, and in the end, we remain excited about the prospect, and we articulated that, and we feel that way, that what Mark is bringing to Millbank is an opportunity to maintain the church and to make it a functional church again. So that's really what became the overriding issue for the Historical Society. So having said that, now I'd like to ask Mark to address is what his plans are structurally. For the building is not by any means a perfect structure. It's an outstanding building, but it needs some help here and there. And one of the things that we did pretty early on in the process was he wanted access. He had a group of people, I don't know if it was a group or a small, he can talk a little bit more about it, but what I noticed, he had some folks come that were in the contracting business. And he told me they were from Fargo. So when we met and we opened the church for him, and I happened to notice that there was a pickup sitting there, a really big honking pickup with a really big trailer, larger than normal. Mm-hmm. So I looked at the license plate and it said Texas on it. And wow, things are big. And then the pickup was a Texas edition of a GMC, I think it was, or might have been, I'm not sure what it was exactly. So I thought, well, things really are bigger in Texas. You know, this is a monster. So maybe Mark can pick up at that point.
Yeah. So to go to our intent with the structure of the building is that I'm a firm believer that wherever you congregate, wherever you meet, that property, that building should reflect how you feel about your faith, what you're preaching, what you're teaching. And so, one, the building, the structure itself is majestic, is beautiful. I love it. Interior-wise, there's a lot of TLC that needs to be done. And so our intent is to fix that up. You know, we would you know, clean it up, fix the carpet, pews, et cetera. There's been some visitors in the building at some point, namely bats and maybe some other things at some point. And so there's just deposits here and there that have been made that, even though everyone is welcome to the church, we don't want bats hanging out there. And so so there's just some cleanup. The basement definitely needs a lot of work.
Yep.
And so our hope is that in a relatively short time we can turn that around. We would be meeting at the visitor center while working on that building, and once that building is cleaned up and it is reflective in a very positive light, that we would start congregating, meeting there. And our hope is that we can have maybe an open house, whether it be like on a Friday or Saturday, something along those lines, announce it to the community so people can come and see the work that we've done, and to just give people some hope and encouragement, let them know that this church is being used and it's coming to life. The gentleman that you're referencing with the Texas edition, I don't know if I sounded clear or not when we discussed, is that I mentioned that he would be in Fargo to visit family, but he's from Texas.
Okay.
And so he has a daughter who is a nurse, that is there. But, something I do, is I preach across the country on a very regular basis. Almost every Friday, I'm in a different state preaching at an event, a convention, a conference, a camp. And then I come back on Saturday and minister in Watertown. And so, I mean, we stay pretty busy. So there's a lot of people across the country that I know or know of me. And there is somebody that reached out to me, and when they heard about what was going on, and they said, we would like to help if there's anything we can do. And he's a contractor by trade, owns a business, and he wanted to take a look at the building to give some professional advice, to give us some peace of mind. Is this structurally sound? What kind of work is going to need to be done? Because on our end, as the board, the concern was, well, yes, this is great that we have the opportunity to acquire this property, but we don't have the time, the money, the resource if, say, it needs a complete overhaul of this, that, or the other, something seismic. And so this brought some peace of mind.
Okay.
And
okay.
So he looked at it, and he basically complimented the structure. He says, you don't got to worry about this thing caving in. Is there a lot of work? Yes, there's work to be done, some cosmetic things, some updates, et cetera. But overall, he says, this thing will be up another 138 years as long as it's maintained and kept. So to the credit of Jeremiah Milbank,
yes,
they did a good work 138 years ago.
You bet.
And
you
so
bet.
That's awesome. But there is a number of things that need to be done, electrical, plumbing, some rewiring, like to HVAC work. You know, got to look for leak places on the roof, and it's a lot of work. So we're hoping that, just as God provided the opportunity to meet you and this has transpired, believing that God will connect us to the right people and divine providence will come to pass to update some things. So that's our prayer.
Good, good. I didn't understand that he was a visitor. I thought he was, you know, from Fargo. So it was, but I will have to add here that I had the impression, given the times that I've talked with you, that sometimes you're either flying to someplace or flying back from someplace. And I thought, you know, you're moving around this country quite a bit. You mentioned at one point Florida. I remember you mentioned Louisiana. I don't recall Texas, but it may have been there. But anyway, and I thought, so you explained how that works. And that gives you a footprint that's much larger than just here in South Dakota and northeastern South Dakota.
Yes, sir.
And I think that's probably going to be crucial to what you end up doing here in terms of how you cause things to happen as far as the structure is concerned. You know, what that does as far as congregationally speaking, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think that will help in terms of you doing and dealing with the structural needs of the building.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I found it interesting. You mentioned about Jeremiah Milbank and the inception of it, that he was efficient or proficient in finding resources outside of the state.
Absolutely.
To help the cause, such as the New York architecture.
Yep.
And I believe there's some parallels to that currently, that there's been a number of people that have already reached out to me and said, we would love to help if need be. And
good.
So whether the help comes from within the community, outside of the community, ultimately we want to beautify that building.
I'm glad that your consultant saw it in the manner that he did and articulated that to you. I didn't have a concern about it in that regard. I'm glad he was able to allay any concerns you guys had in that respect. We've traveled a lot too, and you know, you get into the eastern part of this country and you run into buildings that were built in the 1700s and the 1800s and even the late 1600s, and they're still there. They're still there. They're still solid. They're still functional with care.
Yeah.
In every instance, with a great deal of care. Many of them are museums. You know, typically that's how it goes sometimes. And of course, I go to museums, so, you know, but, you know, so I look at this building and I'm saying, well, it's only 138 years old compared to other buildings that I've been in that are double that, you know. So yes, it's one of the structures in this area that's going to last that long, in my view. So I want to draw another parallel. You mentioned parallels, and we'll bring in a topic that I manage to talk about it every time I'm here. And of course, I'm wearing my t-shirt again, my Buggy Museum t-shirt. And
have we started selling those online yet?
Oh yeah. Well, not online. But we sold a group of them again yesterday.
Oh, good.
So yeah, we're doing that. But the parallel here is between Mark and myself is we're creating a museum in this little tiny town of Stockholm, population, whatever it is, 85 people. And the task for us is we're trying to convince, in some manner or another, we're trying to convince people to come to a town that has only one service, and that's a small restaurant, to see a museum that we're creating as a jewel, if you will. And we have a person that's really giving us a lot of money in terms of financial resources, and so we are taking and using buggies as the vehicle by which we're going to do this. We're restoring buggies to a very high level. We're going to have four of them that are going to be very high level restorations, accurate and very costly restorations. So will that work? Will that sort of concept be enough of an attractant for people to come to this place, this little tiny town out here in the western part of Grant County? In many ways, what Mark is doing and suggesting is he's starting a new ministry in a town where they've not ever been before, and he's taking a structure and bringing it back to being a church, and through his methodologies, he's trying to build a congregation much in the same way that we're trying to build an audience. So I guess in some respects we're kindred spirits in that regard from two different perspectives. I'm doing it obviously from a historical perspective. Mark doing it obviously from a religious perspective. But the task is still roughly the same, or quite closely the same. And I think the things he thinks about can't be a whole lot different. I don't really worry a lot about the financing, because we have a person that's working with me in that regard, you know, and we're doing that. But he's probably in the same position. Either he has some people or he has people that will help and try to bring his concept to fruition, which is not a whole lot different from what we're trying to do here with this, is to bring the concept to fruition. Now, the last time I was on here, I got to lean forward to become a little bit more comfortable.
The big stretch.
I talked a little bit about a form that is called TikTok, which was an absolute, I realize now, disaster as an idea.
I didn't want to kill your dream. I didn't want to kill your dream.
Well, my 16-year-old granddaughter led me down a primrose path, which I'm not sure if she did it on purpose or what, but she says, oh, Papa, you need to get on TikTok and do videos for your museum, for the Buggy Museum. So I thought it was Tic Tac. You know, that's how far out I was. So, we talk about it the last time we were on radio. You are laughing because I think you knew more than I did about that form of social media. So I go home, and with her help, I get signed up. Okay. So I'm starting to watch it. It's like, what am I doing here? this can't even be real. This is absolutely nuts. I'm almost 78 years old. I'm taking the advice of a 60-year-old, and she is not dealing in my best interest. And this is not a forum for history. There's no question that we're in the wrong area. So I took the video that I did. I did a 3-minute video, which I intended to be on TikTok. But what I didn't understand was you had to be on the TikTok platform. And I was on our normal computer platform. You can't move it over. It doesn't work that way. So I'm sitting here with this 3-minute video that I had done. So I'm like, And she's explaining to me, well, that doesn't work. You know, Papa, you're not doing it right. Well, okay, that's good. I'm glad it didn't work. So then I did put it on our website, on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So it went on there and a lot of response. So it's like, okay, so this will work. I don't know if it's a medium that you're at all interested in using or not, but we've got a Facebook page for the Grand County Historical Society. So I've written stories and used photos, still photos, but I put a video on and got really a nice response. So when I was in town in Stockholm yesterday, I did three more. There's no way to edit them, unfortunately, but that I know, of course. What do I know? But anyway, yeah, I've done three more, and I'll look at them and see if they could be used, and if not, I'll do it over again. Go in that manner. But I think what I'll do is we've got 18 buggies. I'll do probably 18 videos. Do a, maybe not all of them, but I'll do a video about each buggy, especially the ones that are going to be the highlights of the museum experience. Of the four that we're spending a significant amount of money on in terms of restoration, we have two in the museum. We have another one that should come in this week, and then we'll have the fourth one that will be completed here, I don't know, sometime in May, I suspect. So anyway, that's what we're planning to do in terms of the buggy museum. I want to add also that I've had a request from a group of people from Minneapolis to open it up on Good Friday, sorry, but they're coming in on Friday, yeah, Good Friday, and we'll have the museum open in Stockholm on Friday, the 15th of April. So if anybody wants to come and be, you know, to view the museum, we're going to have a grand opening on the 28th of May. That'll actually be the beginning of the season for this particular museum. We will also be opening all of the museums in Grant County on that day or on Sunday, the 28th, 29th. But we're going to do the grand opening for the Buggy Museum on that particular day. So let me mention something else and move in a different direction here. We've talked about birds, and of course you know that I'm an amateur ornithologist, I guess you could say.
Yeah, but your name was brought up sometime last week.
Well, okay.
It was Jody Carlson. She was in here.
Jody,
she comes in once a month.
Oh, yes.
And
yes,
she was
yes,
talking
yes.
about birds, and you immediately popped into my mind. And yes, it was you who was going to.
I want to mention, and I'm working with Tammy Wolfschlager, who works at the Grant County Library, mm-hmm. With Jody. They work together. But I'll be there on the 19th. Of April, and I'll be there on the 26th of April this month. And I think the program is from 2 to 4, okay. I think. I'm not exactly sure what I'll be there to talk about birds, obviously. And this is an instance where I can probably say that I've forgotten more about birds than most people know. So I've been involved with birds and bird studies my entire life. What Tammy talked about was, I'm not sure if they're asking young people to come in or if it's open to everybody. I don't know what Jody said about it. I didn't happen to hear that one. We're into the spring. We're into the spring migration. Some birds are starting to come in and so forth. So I know that they want to talk about that, want to talk a little bit about the migratory patterns of various birds and so forth, maybe talk a little bit about the impact of climate change. There are some concepts there and so forth. And, of course, you know, as I've mentioned before, my oldest granddaughter is, oh, boy, is she excited about birds. She saw a Eurasian wegeon in Fort Collins the other day, and she emailed me and sent, you know, or didn't email. She actually messaged me, texting. That's what they call it. I call it messaging. She was so excited. I need to get up to speed. But anyway, she... It's texting, Papa. It's texting.
Texting,
all
yes.
Right, all right, all right. Anyway, she was so excited about seeing this Eurasian wegeon. Well, I've never actually seen one. You know, I've seen a lot of wegeons, but I've never seen a Eurasian one. And it's not, you know, they shouldn't be in Colorado, but they shouldn't be. They actually can be found occasionally. It's a rare bird, you know, and looks a little bit different in a way. But it's a wegeon. But, you know, they are out in western South Dakota and out in Wyoming and Montana, right in a kind of a circle in that general area. Why are they there? I've never really studied them, so I can't tell you why they're there. But at any rate, so, you know, and again, she's the one that I started looking at birds with her when she was about 6 years old, and we sat in the window and we studied all the birds that were coming to our house, you know, in the aviary that we have there and stuff. And now, you know, she's here, she's 21 years old, and she's totally engrossed in it. And she's done one field trip down to New Mexico, and she wants to do a couple more. And, you know, it's just something that's evolved. She's always been engaged in it, and, you know, very interested and fired up. It's the kind of thing you want people to be fired up about, too, in any case, you know. And it's, in this case, so we'll see what happens. I don't know what the audience will be. You know, hopefully if the opportunity arises to inspire a young person or two or three to become really interested in the study of birds and so forth, wonderful hobby, wonderful thing to do. Birds are all around us, you know, and if you don't know what they are, you know, I hear so many times, what's that yellow bird? It's not a parakeet. It's not a parakeet. It's a finch. It's a yellow finch. How tough is that? What's that bluebird? Oh, maybe it's a blue jay, you know. Oh, might be an eastern bluebird, too. It could be, you know. So that's what you're doing. I have a friend that I went to high school with who spent his entire year in entire life in education, either at the high school level or at the college level. He said, my job is stamping out ignorance. I spend every day stamping out ignorance. Kind of what you do, too, in a lot of ways. So, anyway, those are my 2 cents for today. Mark, do you have some things you want to end up with?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to have this conversation. And, you know, if anyone is interested, we do have a website, thenexttown.com. They also can follow us on social media, Next Town Ministries, with updates of, you know, what we're doing, if they just are curious, interested. At the same time, we're doing this same concept in Webster every Tuesday. So we're thankful for the opportunity to be here, to be involved here in the community. And so I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you coming here and sharing your thoughts and sharing your vision. That's what's really important, because it is a vision. You know, and that's what you're about. So that's good. I'm glad you came in. I'm glad you responded positively and that you're here today.
Thank you.
So appreciate it.
Sounds good. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
You bet.
Sounds good. 9:55. We'll wrap it up next.